Heavenly Father, we come together this morning to bring you praise and glory and honor. We come because you have made that possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we can know you and have fellowship with you, and we are here for that purpose this morning. Use this time to encourage us, to build us up as your people, that we might live faithfully for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I had heard about the place for years. I knew plenty of people who had been there, including my own kids on school trips. But I had never personally been to Crystal Cave until 2 years ago. If you're not familiar with it, Crystal Cave is near Kutztown, Pennsylvania, discovered by two guys blasting for limestone back in 1871. It is now billed as, this is what they say, the most popular natural attraction in Pennsylvania. When I visited, the guide leading our group through the cave stopped the tour at one point, and he kind of prepared us, and then turned off all the lights. As you can imagine, it was dark. There's no residual light, artificial or otherwise. I can only describe it as dark darkness. While it was kind of fun to do that, I knew I would not want to live that way. In fact, I knew I didn't even want to take one step, knowing I could crash into a stalagmite or fall into a hole. And I was not interested in stubbing my toe or breaking my neck. The problems and fears associated with walking around in darkness can be overcome by turning on lights. That may not completely cure our personal clumsiness, but it does give us confidence and assurance that we can see where we are going. Well, as we continue our Easter season series, Living What We Know, we're going to follow what the Apostle John wrote in his first letter. Where he begins is with this basic principle of walking in the light. John, along with Peter and James, is one of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. As with the Gospel of John, it's generally thought that he wrote this letter toward the end of his life when he was close to 90 years old. John the Apostle had seen a lot. He had walked with Jesus and he had walked with other Christians for many years. He had seen and heard and come to know too much to let it pass as a whimsical fad. He took great joy in seeing others come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. As he shares his personal witness, which was consistent with the other apostles from the beginning, he did not wander or waver from the gospel message, the focus being on Jesus, the Word of Life. Having fellowship with Jesus, God the Son, John knew he had fellowship with God the Father. That is the very definition of eternal life we are given in John's Gospel as we listen to Jesus pray, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John writes here to share what it means for all Christians to live with what we know to be true about Jesus, what he has done as our Savior, and what it means to follow him as our Lord, characterized by John as walking in the light, which is not just a philosophy of life based on Jesus' teaching, but a living relationship with the living Lord. It's true, Easter Day 2018 is past, but Jesus is still risen from the dead. Because he lives, we can know that our relationship is real and present even today. Turn with me in your own Bibles or in the Pew Bibles on page 1065. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. for us to walk in the light, it is important to first understand that God is light. John puts it this way in verse 5 of chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John and the other apostles had heard it directly from Jesus, and this is what John is passing on. To know God is light means all that he says is true, and all that he does is right. There's nothing of mixed or impure motives. There's nothing of deceit or falsehood. Everything he says and does is true and right and loving. To know Jesus as the Word of Life is to recognize him as the embodiment of God's truth. It is a title which speaks of Jesus as the source of true life and which affirms the very divinity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the light of the world because he reveals the Father to us, and he is the way for us to be reconciled with the Father. There is, therefore, a very clear distinction between walking in the light and walking in darkness. The light involves the truth of God and fellowship with God. Darkness involves sin and falsehood and separation from God. As John points out, the two are incompatible. This is important for us to know so that we don't lose sight of what is true. It has always been the case. There are countless competitors making claims about the truth. Sometimes the contradictory nature between them shows that not all can be right. But other instances have more subtle distinctions, sounding very similar on the surface. And it can be hard and confusing for us to constantly struggle to sort them out. Can be exhausting or lead us to simply not care about the truth at all. To start with God is light enables us to relax about those confusing things. We trust in God to show us the truth we need for our lives. Given his character, what we know to be true about him gives us assurance that he will never lead us the wrong direction. We'll talk more about that next week. For us to walk in the light also means we need to make both decisive and daily choices. Picking up in verse 6, John writes, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The fellowship about which John wrote started with their redeemed relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus, God the Son. Having chosen to trust in Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord, they had entered into a new life. Based on that fellowship, John and the other Christians of his time shared deep fellowship with one another, walking in the light together. And it brought them deep joy telling others about that fellowship and sharing it with them. The practical outworking of that fellowship involved more than sitting around in a holy huddle. Yes, certainly there were special times of focused fellowship, but it didn't stop there. Indeed, the impact of that multi-layered fellowship led to walking in the light of that fellowship throughout their lives. Rather than living in denial about their own sin, they were honest about that with themselves and with God. And because of that honest confession and repentance, they knew the genuine forgiveness promised by God. Walking in the light was, in no small measure, comprised of walking in the context of God's forgiveness and the righteousness he has imputed to us in Christ. The peace of God permeated their lives as their hearts rested in Christ Jesus. We were reminded last week on Easter Day about that which is of first importance. That included the fact that Christ died for our sins. We know that, don't we? Living what we know, therefore, means walking in the light of God's forgiveness and cleansing. Sometimes we forget that. We can be relentless and hang on to the sins of others, especially when they have hurt us. We can be merciless in hanging on to the weight of our own sins, especially when the consequences linger. Neither of those is living in the light of what we know about God's forgiveness. For us to walk in the light of God's forgiveness means we have to deal honestly with the darkness in our lives. That's the point made here as he goes on in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, rather than playing games with the reality of our own sin, we deal with it honestly and openly and regularly before God. We let God's light shine into our lives to reveal the darkness we need to confess. Confession and repentance is more than being sorry we got caught. It is to be sorry we did what we did and to look to God to help us live differently. It includes turning from darkness, setting aside our old ways, and turning to God, taking up the ways God has for us time and time again, and again, and again. Forgiveness is not God saying, we did nothing wrong, really. It is for him to never hold that against us ever again. It is basking in the light of his mercy and grace, like the warmth of the sunshine. Righteousness is not pretending to be good or perfect. It is to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, who is our Savior. Released from our bondage to sin and death, it is to know the God-given freedom to live the way he calls us to live. It is to rely on the Holy Spirit to inform and guide and empower us to do so step by step. I don't know if you happen to see it. In February, the New York Times published an interview conducted with Scott Hamilton. Do you remember him? Scott Hamilton was a men's figure skater. He won the gold medal in the 1984 Olympics. In the interview, he shared this detail about his life as a skater. He said, I calculated once how many times I fell during my career, 41,600 times. But here's the funny thing. I got up 41,600 times. That's the muscle you have to build in your psyche, the one that reminds you to just get up. What he knew as a skater has connections to his life as a Christian. With every time he falls back into sin, he turns back to the Lord in confession and repentance in order to receive forgiveness and strength to go on. That is the muscle every Christian needs to develop in his or her own soul. See, for us to walk in the light is to make that decisive life choice to trust in Jesus as our Savior and to make those daily choices to follow him as our Lord. Rather than being defeated when we fail and fall into sin yet again, we turn back to the Lord each time, trusting in what Jesus has promised. Where this all leads us is to realize that walking in the light means trusting Jesus as the way of life for ourselves and for everyone else. As we're reminded by John, our confidence is in Jesus. He goes on in the first two verses of chapter 2, my little children. I love that. He's not speaking as some mean ogre trying to smack people with a baseball bat. He cares about these people to whom he's writing. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world, even those people living in Oaks, Pennsylvania in 2018. Folks, this is the heart of the gospel message. Yes, we are sinners before God. And yes, we have an advocate and propitiation in the person of Jesus. To know Jesus is to know that truth. He is our advocate before God. Not in the sense of, I hope he's able to win the case, but in the certainty that the victory has already been won. The resurrection of Jesus is the great sign and seal on that truth. He is our propitiation before God, meaning he took the penalty of our sin upon himself on the cross. He has saved us. John knew this to be true, as did the other apostles, each and all of them being commissioned by the risen Jesus to go into all the world with that gospel message, the great commission to pass on the great message. That is the same message we have to share with the world. Not that God was only joking and human sin is no big deal to him after all. Not that if we are nice to each other, then life will be heavenly. Not that if we try and work hard enough, we can tip the scales of God's judgment in our favor. No, none of those things. But that we are truly sinners in need of salvation. That Jesus came and gave himself to be our Savior. And that when we trust in him as such, we are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are saved. That is the good news we share together as Christians and the news we have to share with the whole world. No one is beyond the reach of his saving embrace if that person is willing to embrace him in faith. As Billy Graham put it, the cross shows the seriousness of our sin, but it also shows the immeasurable love of God. The cross is God's answer to sin. To all who would receive the blessed news of salvation through Christ, it forever crosses out and cancels sin's power. For us to walk in the light is to live what we know about Jesus, the Word of Life. It is to live and walk daily as redeemed sinners, given new life in fellowship with God and with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We may find that an astounding proposition, but it is a certainty in the context of living with Jesus as our advocate with the Father, the propitiation for our sins. We know that by knowing Jesus. Our mission is to share that message. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son to be our Savior, to take our sin upon himself on the cross so that we might be redeemed, that we might know your forgiveness, that we might know what it means to have eternal life with you. We thank you for that gift. Father, even today, we take that into our hearts and our souls more deeply. Even today, we commit ourselves to follow you more faithfully. Even today, We ask that you would use us as your witnesses in the world to carry that great message to those who still need to hear it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.